Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
G'day everyone, welcome back to the Sports Ethos New Orleans Pelicans podcast. I'm your host, Lyle Swithenbank. This is a sportsethos.com presentation. You can find us on Twitter, at Ethos Pelicans, at Lyle Swithenbank. If you've got time, go and give us a rate and review on your podcast app. If you can give us that 5 stars with a comment, it helps us grow and... Yeah, we appreciate all of the support and the people that have gone and done that. You're legends, and we love you for it. So, what are we here to talk about? Well, the Pelicans played game 3 of 5 in their preseason schedule, taking on the San Antonio Spurs. It was a 6 p.m. tip-off in San Antonio. A cheeky 7 a.m. start for me, which was lovely. A game that was really siren to siren Pelicans' favour. The Spurs came in undermanned. They had Poeltl out, Vassell out, Primo out, and Keldon Johnson, probably 4 of their 5 starters, and honestly were just outmatched. They hung around for the first half, and then we just absolutely annihilated them in the third quarter, and it was pretty much over from then. Now, before the game, we were told that Brandon wasn't going to go. CJ was out again, and Jackson Hayes was out with that UCL injury that we talked about. Everyone else, besides Kyra, were fit, ready to go, no dramas. Unfortunately, Dyson Daniels injured himself in the game, twisting that right ankle. I think he'll be moving to high tops, no doubt, after this with another ankle injury and in a couple of games, which is disappointing for him because he was really playing well. He only played 20 seconds. It was his first play that he was on. He got defended really well and looked like he went back and rolled that ankle in the defensive sort of movement. But that's how it goes, unfortunately. That's basketball, and no doubt he'll be getting the proper treatment for it and fixing that up, and he'll be back on the court as soon as possible. So, final score of this game was 111-97. Pelicans taking a comfortable lead. Would have been bigger, but we played all the development players and young guys, Exhibit 10 players, two-way contract guys, played at the end, which was great. They got a really good run. Great to see all those guys out there. And I'm pretty sure everyone saw the court. Besides the guys that were out. So, the only guys that didn't were Jax, B.I., Kyra, and CJ, who I said were injured. So, really good to give everyone a good run. The least minutes on the team was John Petty. He had 6.5. So, everyone really got a good run, and it was great to be able to see everyone, contribute and get to have a bit of a run in the basketball. You know, you want to see that. You don't want guys just to be sitting riding the bench in preseason. Give everyone a run. If you've got what you need to out of the starters, well then, you know, give everyone a go. Doesn't matter if you win these, better if you do. Makes us 3-0 on the preseason. The Spurs fall to 0-3. And I suppose the story of the night was Trey Murphy. He was fantastic, ending with 27 points. He hit 7 3-pointers, which was huge. Came out really aggressive. That was something they talked about in the end of the last game, was Trey Murphy, if he sees daylight, shoot the ball. Hit those threes. And in this one, he was attacking. He was unreal. 7 of 10 shooting from three-point range, 10 of 15 overall. And he was active. He was getting into everything. 8 rebounds to go with those 27 points and looked really good. Looked strong, had that presence, was attacking the basket, and when they wanted to chase him off that 3-point line, but he was getting those looks, and he was knocking them down, squaring his feet up, and just stroking it, basically getting that 3-point shot to drop, and they had no answer for him whatsoever. And perhaps that's what teams are going to do. They're going to try to take away the paint and fill that lane up to stop Zion getting in there, and they hammered him today. He had a stat line which was nice, but again, probably could have been even better if he had a little bit more spacing and they laxed off him. But they were more than happy to just give up the 3-pointers, and be interesting to see that when he's playing with BI and CJ. But we shall see whether or not they decide to give that up in favour of letting the other guys cook them. But watch this space, I suppose, with that. So, quarter by quarter, Pels came out 28 points to 24. Second quarter, 22 to 20. Come out of the half and dumped 37 points on them, which was just fantastic. They were turning the ball over. They were sloppy, just bricking shots. And we slapped them. Absolutely slapped them. Last quarter, like I said, everyone got about 6-7 minutes into the bench guys. So they ended up outscoring us 31 to 24. But it was all said and done by then. We weren't worried. All the guys had done what they needed to do. They executed the game plan. Willie Green said that after the game, that he was really happy with how they were executing what they'd been practicing, what he'd been instilling in them. So no dramas. Everything's ticking along well. If we can get these silly little injuries out of the way, we'll be flying. So all in all, great game. Tough to really criticize anyone because everyone just did their job. And that's all we ask, isn't it? Come in, do your job, celebrate, belt whatever team comes in, or you go and visit, and then get home. And more importantly, get home healthy, but we nearly did that. Nearly. We'll see. Hopefully nothing too serious with Dice. Now, go over to the stats, the stat comparisons, as we like to have a look at. 44% from the field for the Pels, 38% from three, being 15 of 39. Got those 3-point numbers right back up, more in line with maybe the first game. And I suppose that comes down to what they're willing to give up, the opposition. So I suppose that'll fluctuate throughout the season. They shot a woeful 36% from the field and 26 from three. Launched 13 of them. Hit 13, but launched 49, which is just, that's abysmal. 28 assists, we moved the ball. Everyone was getting involved and making that next pass, and sometimes we passed a little bit too much. We were too eager to pass and advancing the ball too quick, resulting in turnovers or putting us in bad positions. But the mentality of team scoring was just great. It was fantastic to see everyone be involved. They had 22 rebounds, smashed them 63 to 55. Jonas feasted against them. So did Big Billy as well. I think he ended up with a double-double. Anything else noticeable? Points off turnovers similar, 22 to 18. We had another 21 turnovers in this one. A lot coming from the bench, I guess, as it got a little bit more scrappy. But they also had, well, they only had 7-8. So credit to them. But, you know, guys like Gorgui Jiang had 4. Zach Collins had 3. Their big guys were turning the ball over. And if it becomes live ball turnovers, you're giving that ball up. And if you're not executing at your end, well, it makes it tricky to win. Now, before I get into the box score, I will just have my gripe. And I know I have a bit of a rant and carry on now and then, but this is the place for me to do that. No one's going to stop me. So, listen in. Firstly, League Pass is just woeful at the moment. I don't know what the streaming issue is. You've probably seen me griping about it on Twitter, but I was just absolutely annoyed, and I have been for the last few games, and writing emails and blasting the customer care team, which are just completely incompetent. No one knows what's going on. I can't watch a game without it buffering flat out. I thought it was in 2009 trying to watch some sort of pirated stream. Not that I would ever do that, but I'm sure people have. You have to pause it and then it unpauses and it buffers and spins and gets stupid sounds coming out of the speakers, and I'm like, what's the point? We're paying good money for this. So, NBA, I know you're absolutely not listening to this, but if someone out there knows someone who can fix this, well, get onto it, because the season is fast approaching. And I tell you what, if I got to wake up early to watch these Pelicans, I better be able to watch it on a Spurs stream, mind you. It better be slick and seamless, because my second gripe, that being said, was the Spurs stream was just, I know it wasn't properly broadcast and we had the radio announcer who was commentating it, who did a great job, had no issues with that. It was radio commentary, but it was quite nice to be informed as to what was going on. Live replays, replays during live play. The NBL, the Aussie Basketball League, has been notorious for doing this. It's a woeful habit that these broadcasters get into. It's like, oh, look, they made a jump shot. I've never really seen it too bad in the NBA. This was bad. Zach Collins shooting a little baby jump shot, that was good enough for a replay. We saw a guy foul, I don't know who fouled, maybe Najee or Devontae Graham driving in, and we got a replay of that. We're getting these sporadic replays, and the ball's still live. The ball's up the other end. There was parts where the commentator was like, oh, yep. And so the Spurs get a rebound off JV, missed shot, and we've missed our whole offensive play and come back. It's like, well, you probably think your Spurs are a good defensive team because you never get to see them. Too busy watching replays of hitting layups. But I just thought that was just ridiculous. And it looked like a Bally Sport stream. They had the Bally Sport logo flying up. So let's sort this out. Pull it together. You know, tuck your shirt in. Get a haircut. Tie your shoelaces nice and tight. And fix your streams and your broadcast. Because I can't be bothered watching this carry on, trying to support my team, with incompetence. But anyway, maybe I'm becoming a grumpy old man, but we'll see what happens. It's probably likely. Found a grey hair. So I'm going through it. So I digress. Back to the box score. If anyone can fix that anyway, I'm sure they'll resolve it before the season starts. Fingers crossed. So box score. Trey Murphy, 26 minutes, 27 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 10 of 15, 7 of 10 from 3. Plus 18 on the night, no turnovers. He was great. Honestly, like I said about Trey, he was aggressive, he looked strong, he was attacking the basket, he was hitting threes, he was punishing them. They gave him the shots, so he took them. And he made them. And that's what you gotta do. Zion, 24 minutes, continued to ramp up. He's had 15, then he had 20, and he's just had short of 25 in this one. 8 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. Well, that's a delicious little stat line. Hit a 3-pointer as well. Come off a screen and just splashed it. It was delish. 1 of 2 free throws. Better than the 3 of 12 last game. But 4 turnovers. Still a plus 25 on the night. Had the ball in his hands a bit. Hit that 3. That was nice. He's getting hammered in the paint. And the refs just were not even giving him an inch. He got absolutely manhandled down there again. We're going to see that all year, and hopefully with his new conditioning and the like, he's able to protect himself and not get beaten up too badly, and we can put him in positions to be successful. And I think it'll become easier for him. I hope it'll become easier for him when CJ and BI are there, because they're just not going to be able to give up everything. They can't give up everything else for Zion to score 2 points. So, and we've got shooters now, so we've got to punish him. And I think that will continue to make more space for him. And as he gets his legs under him, you can see he's still getting used to the NBA basketball and people getting used to it again. And guys getting used to playing with him. He's going to be flying. He'll be fine. JV, 22 minutes, 14 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 of 9, 2 of 5 from 3, 4 of 4 free 3-pointers, 3 turnovers. You know, a couple of those turnovers were purely out of the post. They came and doubled him and he just didn't execute the pass, or they had a bit of a longer arm and managed to tip it. This is what we do. We have preseason for these issues, and sometimes the guys didn't flash at the right time or from the wrong angle, and that made it a bit tough. The cuts were a little bit late, but we'll tidy those up and that'll be fine. So I'm not too concerned about that. He was solid, JV, and the 3-point stroke looked good. The pump fake was in full effect, and we liked that. Herb Jones back from that sore rib. 23 minutes, 3 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals and a block. And one was, and that block was on a jump shot over a screen, which was pretty hectic. If you've seen that picture, yeah, enjoy it and get it framed and all that sort of stuff because it is fantastic. And I don't know how he managed to get an arm to it. He was 1 of 5 in his field goals. He missed a layup, missed his 1 3-point attempt, but that's all right. He's getting that rust off after being off. Plus 26 on the night. Devontae Graham starting again, 11 points, 2 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 of 8 shooting, 3 of 7 from 3. And he's looked really good. He's been on a tear, plus 27. He was actually the tied with JV for the best plus minus on the team. He has looked really good. He's taken his shots when they're given to him. He's made them. And he hasn't settled for like leaning threes. He's taken a few, which is his role. He's also got a couple of bunnies inside, and I like that. Go from the inside out, get your eye in, and he's doing a variety of different things. So, yeah, that looked really good with Devontae, and I've been really impressed with his preseason. His offseason has definitely paid off. I know he worked pretty hard. Billy off the bench with 13 points. Mr. Double-Double had 11 points and 11 rebounds for the MVP. 1 assist, 5 of 8 shooting. And, yeah, 13 minutes, double-double, no dramas, no flies on the MVP. He looked really good. And he's going to be demanding minutes. And whether that comes, I don't know, but someone's going to give him something because he's earning it. He's chomping at the bit, and I think we should reward him for his toil because he is a big culture guy as well. Jose cooled off after that 26 points in the last game, or 28, I think it was. 4 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, 1 block, 2 of 8 shooting. Found himself in a bit of foul trouble, couldn't really get his rhythm in, missed his 2 3-pointers. And it was a bit of a tough one for Jose. He really didn't get in his rhythm. He got 2 quick fouls when he came on, and I think he ended up with 5. Yeah, he ended up with 5 personal fouls, and he was good, but that offense wasn't there in this one, and you're going to have games like that. You can't go and score 28 points every game. Najee Marshall, however, 20 minutes, 15 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, and 5 of 12 shooting, 1 of 6 from 3, 4 of 5 free throws, 2 turnovers, but that's okay. He played well. He was aggressive, got downhill, moved the ball, hit his 1 3-pointer. He's got to have to get that a little bit better if he's going to find minutes this year. I think that 3-point shot is going to be imperative when playing alongside Zion Williamson, and maybe they find him a lineup where he doesn't have to play with him because he's probably more effective as that driving wing that's defending rather than a stretch in the floor. But if he could get it up to 33% 3-point shot, that would be pretty good, and that would help the team and continue to add spacing. But we'll see. I know he's working on it. Jose saying he was working really hard. Larry Nance, only 9 minutes in this one. 6 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 of 2, 1 of 1 3-pointers, and hit his free throw. Didn't really do anything. Minus 5. I didn't play much. I don't know why. Maybe they went with different guys, but he didn't really get that much of a run. Dyson Daniels didn't do anything in 20 seconds, which was disappointing for him because he got to he got a foul. He basically came on, got fouled, and rolled his ankle and was off. So hopefully he's okay. Garrett Temple basically absorbed his minutes, 11 minutes and 53, 2 points, 2 rebounds. Got off the donut on that one, 1 of 5 shooting, 0 of 2 from 3. Had a turnover, plus 9 on the night. So he came on in at the end of the game, basically played a role with the end of the bench guys, and did what he was told to do. Plowden, 15 minutes, 2 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 block, 1 of 6 field goals. He's so athletic. I was honestly very impressed with Plowden in this one. He defends like a madman, and he had a crack, and that's all we can ask. These guys come in and they're trying to earn a job, and if you come in and play your role and be athletic and defend well, you might just find yourself on a roster, but who knows. Sebron, however, with the two-way, 7 minutes and 50 seconds, 8 points, 3 rebounds, 1 steal, 2 of 4. And Willie Green said it after last game, he's fast. That Sebron is so fast, and he's strong. He gets downhill at ease, gets the basket whenever he wants, and it wouldn't surprise me if he earns himself a little a few minutes this year. He is looking really good. John Butler saw his first minutes as a Pelican. 0 points, one rebound, one assist, three blocks. And he was blocking everything, honestly. In 7.5 minutes, he was sticking his arm out and getting hold of whatever was close. Unfortunately, missed his 2 3-point attempts, but he was swatting it. And, you know, he's skinny. He's a work in progress, but he's got those defensive instincts. He's got those long arms, and he's not afraid to shoot threes. We'll see whether or not he can stick, and hopefully he can. Cheatham, Zolan Cheatham, come on. 7 minutes, 38. 2 rebounds. Did his role. John Petty, 6 minutes, 38. And had an assist and a steal. And that was pretty much it. So that's a box score. Everyone got a run that was healthy. It's good to be able to get everyone on the court. And no doubt Willie Green will continue to assess his rotation as he gets players back from injury. He'll be able to then formulate a rotation that is probably a little bit shorter than everyone, no doubt. He probably goes maybe 9-10 people deep, I guess, looking at the roster. Who knows? It's going to be tough when those other guys come back, because there's only 48 minutes in a game, so you've got to be able to delegate them out and make sure you get the right combinations. It's probably going to be a bit of trial and error the first few weeks, and whatever works will see probably it the rotation solidify, so we'll go from there. Anyway, I'm going to go to a break. After this, we'll come back. We'll preview the Heat game, I think, is the Heat game next, which will be on Friday, I think. Maybe not. It's on Wednesday, I think, actually. Yeah, Wednesday evening. And then the Birmingham game is on Friday against the Hawks. So we'll preview the Heat game, and we'll do that after this. So stick around.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay, listeners, it's time to talk a little fantasy hoops. Do you remember who led you to Tyrese Halliburton, DeJounte Murray, Terry Rozier, and Mikal Bridges before any other rank list? That's right, it was the Brewski 150, and you probably turned those huge wins into some cash, didn't you? Great. Well, the Brewski 150 is now available to all Fantasy Monthly members, including the extremely affordable Fantasy Pass at just $5.99 a month. Head to sportsethos.com to upgrade to a Fantasy Pass now and dominate your drafts. Okay, guys, before the break, we were breaking down the Spurs game. Delicious victory. Very happy with that. And we're going to talk about the upcoming Heat game. It is going to be a test. Of course it is. The Heat being 2-1 in preseason. We're a bit undermanned, and I don't know who's going to be healthy for this. Hopefully, Jack's 2 to 4 weeks is what Willie Green said. Then they'll reassess. So hopefully he's ready for the season opener. We'll see. You know, we'll be pushing it, I think. It's only 10 days away, so he's probably going to be back at the start of November. Hopefully Dyson not too bad, and I know Willie Green talked about wanting to get all the starters together to play in at least one or two preseason games, and so hopefully CJ's okay. They're all traveling with the team, but we'll see, I guess, as to how it plays out. The only player listed as a game time decision for Miami is Yurt7, everyone else is healthy. So we're going to see what happens there. The Heat, hard-nosed defensive team, another game on the road. We need to play our brand of basketball. That's the long and the short of it, is if we hustle hard, defend the living daylights out of it and move the ball, take the shots that we're given and make them, we'll be okay. If we decide to let them junk the game up and we play their brand of basketball, which is hard, gritty, grind it out, then perhaps they'll win. But we'll see. It's going to be a great test, and no doubt we will see that unfold as the game progresses. But that is a 6:30 tip-off Central Time on Wednesday night. So we'll be tuning into that to see what transpires. But I think I'm going to leave it at that. The last thing, actually, before I do wrap up, is that we saw a little bit of footage of Kyra Lewis Jr. in the background during some post-training media availability. And he was going 3-on-3, and he looked quick. And people are saying he looks quicker than he ever has. But he looked really strong. So, I don't know, after 3-on-3, it's 4-on-4, then 5-on-5. We'll see what happens. But anyway, that now that I've said that little tidbit, I'm going to leave it at that. So this has been the Sports Ethos New Orleans Pelicans podcast. I am your host, Lyle Swithenbank, at Lyle Swithenbank on Twitter, at Ethos Pelicans is the show. Go and visit sportsethos.com for everything that's going on over there. Stay safe. I'll speak to you after the Heat game, or maybe before. We'll see. Watch this space. And bye for now.